KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies here in Atlantic and 8 degrees above zero. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our news is brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating and Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In local news, the manager of the Atlantic Fairway store was recognized Monday afternoon for his efforts to support military service personnel employed at the store. Jerry Hansen, chairman and ombudsman for the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, or ESGR, Organization Area 2, presented Dale Brewer with the Patriot Award during a ceremony held at the store. Hansen spoke about the award's background.
The Patriotic Employer Award was created by ESGR to publicly recognize individuals who provide outstanding patriotic support and cooperation to their employees, who, like the citizen warriors before them, have answered their nation's call to serve. Supportive supervisors are critical to maintaining the strength and readiness of the nation's National Guard and Reserve units.
Brewer was nominated by Fairway employee Christopher Kinney, who serves with the Iowa National Guard's 1168th Transportation Company.
Dale Brewer, Chris felt strongly enough about your support to nominate you and Fairway for this important recognition. Congratulations.
And Hansen read a portion of the letter that Kinney had submitted when he nominated Brewer for the award.
My boss has always kept in good spirits, works hard, as well as continuously checking on his employees to see what their plans are for the future. He was very supportive in my decision to join the National Guard, even though he knew I would be leaving. Before I left for my 23 weeks of training in basic and advanced and individual training, he sat down with me and talked to me about what my plans were when I returned. He offered to hold my position until I returned after basic training. After my 13 weeks of AIT, I called to inform them of my return and to see if they could get me back on the work schedule. Sure enough, the next week I had a full schedule and was right back to work.
Humble in his acceptance of the award, Brewer said that it was the company's policy to work with their employees serving in the military.
Even if it wasn't, I think it's the right thing to do. And there's a lot of people, a lot of employers out there doing the right thing every day and maybe don't get nominated or recognized. So I guess I accept it on their behalf, too.
KJAN News Time is 8:02.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Well, you may recall last week here on KJAN News, we told you that the Iowa West Foundation had announced its fourth quarter 2012 grant recipients, which included the city of Kimbolton for park and trail improvements. Jill Madsen, chair of the Little Mermaid Trail Committee, said the $38,000 IWF grant will be used for the Kimbolton City Park portion of the project. Late last fall, Kimbolton City employees and volunteers disassembled and hauled away old playground equipment to make room for new equipment that's been ordered and scheduled to be installed this spring. The park improvements also call for construction of a new public restroom. And as we mentioned last month, an entirely new addition to the park will include sculptures of the most famous of the Danish author Hans Christian Andersen's characters. The sculptures will be mounted on pedestals containing speakers where visitors will be able to listen to famous tales. Troy Muller, art director for Century Art Guild in Kimbolton, has been contracted to create the bronze sculptures. The Danish villages of Elkhorn and Kimbolton were designated as an Iowa Great Place in 2010, and since that time has completed the first leg of a Little Mermaid Trail, running 0.6 miles west of the Danish Immigrant Museum. The second project was recently awarded $111,410 from the Great Places program for the Kimbolton Park. To help raise funds to complete the project, the committee is offering sponsorships of the bronze statues. A $1,000 donation will get your name on one of the statues that will be erected. If you'd like to find out more about this and how you can contribute to that park project, you can contact Jill Madsen at 712-764-6161 or email her at jill@metc.net. Officials of the Cass County Extension Service and other state and local partners invite area farmers and the public to attend an informational presentation to be held this Friday from the Iowa Department of Transportation on laws and regulations that affect farming operations. Janelle Crocht, a district field manager for Iowa Corn, said the laws and regulations change all the time, and it's important to share up-to-date information, and this is directly from the DOT so farmers can ask questions. The free presentation takes place 2 p.m. Friday at the Cass County Community Center in Atlantic. A question and answer period will follow the presentation for any farmers who have questions related to specific rules and regulations. Presenting partners for the event include the Iowa Corn Growers Association, the Iowa Corn Promotion Board, and the Iowa Soybean Association, along with Cass County ISU Extension and the local Cass County Corn and Soybean Association. There is no cost to attend and no pre-registration is required. And again, the meeting is open to the public. Questions in advance of this Friday's event should be directed to Janelle Crocht at 515-229-9980. Officials at the Shelby County Develop Source say they're inviting area farmers to a workshop to be held in February that's designed to help families begin the conversation and put together a plan on transitioning farms from retiring to beginning farmers. The discussion and information will be held at the Shelby County Center of Iowa Western Community College during a two-day farm succession conversation and planning workshop February 8th and 9th. The workshops are planned as a multi-generational event for exiting owners and spouses and succeeding owners and spouses. The workshops are to be held on consecutive days to allow for the initiations of the conversation and written plans. The succession conversation and planning workshop will feature several guest speakers, including David Baker from Iowa State University and John Baker, beginning Farmer Center administrator and attorney at law. Over the two-day course, participants will review the retirement plan concept and receive information on transfer plans, estate plans, and a process for creating a family statement of intention. Family groups will be given time to write a statement of intent and vision of the future. Workshops will be held from noon until 8 p.m. on Friday, the 8th of February, and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, the 9th. The cost of that two-day event is $150 per family of four, $25 for each additional person, and it includes refreshments and meals for both days. Interested beginning farmers and retired farmers can register by contacting Jane Nielsen at Shelby County Develop Source. Her number is 712-755-3569, and registrations must be received by no later than this Friday. Volunteers combed fire-prone neighborhoods in Council Bluffs yesterday, checking door-to-door on how to prepare residents for a fire. Jill Orton with, or how prepared they are for a fire, that is, Jill Orton with the Lus Hills chapter of the American Red Cross said that the agency's volunteers canvassed several areas of Council Bluffs that were considered to be high risk. The volunteers handed out fire safety information and talked to the residents about whether or not they have a working smoke detector. Orton says if that person needed assistance, the volunteer then radioed back and the Red Cross's partners with the fire department made arrangements to come out and either install a smoke detector or give the resident batteries for their smoke detector. Orton said in the past 10 years, more than 230 fires occurred in Council Bluffs City's high-risk neighborhoods. They claimed three lives and sent 11 people to the hospitals.
Single-family fires are the number one disaster that the Red Cross responds to on a daily basis. Within our region, we respond to approximately one fire a day.
Fire is the biggest threat to families, not floods, hurricanes, or tornadoes, she says. And home fires are one disaster that may be prevented when people understand how to protect their families. If residents weren't home during yesterday's sweep, door hangers were left, and the hangers, printed both in English and Spanish, provided cooking and heating tips and highlighted the importance of smoke alarms and the need to create and practice a fire escape plan. Speaking of fires, authorities say a man has been hospitalized after a small fire at an auto repair shop in Sioux City. The man was hospitalized Monday for smoke inhalation after a small fire broke out at the Gearhead Garage. Firefighters say the blaze started inside the engine compartment of a parked car inside the building. The damage was limited to the vehicle. The manager of the shop says the man is an employee and his injuries were not serious. Authorities are still trying to determine the cause of that fire. And ammunition and rifles were destroyed by a fire that gutted an indoor shooting range in eastern Iowa. The fire was reported around 3 p.m. Monday at a range operated by the West Liberty Gun Club in West Liberty. No injuries were reported. The fire destroyed the main building that housed a 15-stall indoor rifle range and the club's meeting spot. Club President David Kelsenberg said two club members used water on the fire after it was discovered, but the flames quickly spread through much of the building. Kelsenberg said there was little danger from any ammunition being cooked off. He said the powder can explode from the heat, but the bullet doesn't speed away. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, President Obama has a few more inaugural obligations to complete today before getting down to business. He and Vice President Joe Biden are attending a prayer service at the National Cathedral. Then they'll celebrate with campaign and White House staffers at a glitzy inaugural ball tonight. Plenty of fresh challenges face President Obama in the first working day of his second term. He'll have to deal with three fiscal deadlines, including raising the debt ceiling, which the House expects to vote on tomorrow. And he'll soon have to finalize the next phase of the U.S. troop pullout of Afghanistan. More American high schoolers are earning their diplomas. The education departments of the nation's high school graduation rate is the highest it's been since 1976. But the study also says more than 20% of students are still taking longer than 4 years to graduate. And a higher percentage of girls than boys finish high school. A mom in North Florida is paying to have an armed deputy patrol her child's elementary school because she's concerned about safety following the school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. The district superintendent told the Daytona Beach News Journal that Lori Loria is covering the costs of the deputy through the end of the year. The county sheriff calls the idea a Band-Aid solution. News time is 8:11.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. For major repairs, including new house construction to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake. Two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements this morning, Fred Sherdeen, age 61, of Atlantic, died Thursday at Methodist Hospital in Omaha. Funeral services for Fred Sherdeen will be held today at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Vicki Lundgren, age 54, of Des Moines and formerly of Audubon, died Friday. Funeral services for Vicki Lundgren will be today at 10:30 at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in West Des Moines. Mary Jane Wingert, age 91, of Carlisle, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Mary Jane Wingert will be today at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Oneida. Hockenberry Family Care in Oneida has the arrangements. Daryl Ruse, age 68, of Fontenelle, died Sunday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Daryl Ruse will be held tomorrow at 1:30 at the United Methodist Church in Tabor. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Keith Felix DeWitt, age 64, of Des Moines, died Friday at the Iowa Veterans Home in Marshalltown. Funeral services for Keith DeWitt will be Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Hamilton's Southtown Funeral Home in Des Moines. Don Tiedemann, age 69, of Fontenelle, died Friday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Don Tiedemann will be on Thursday at 1:30 at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Marvin Osborne, age 93, formerly of Avoca, died Friday in Mesa, Arizona. Services for Marvin Osborne will be Friday at 2 o'clock at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Jim Cady, age 98, of Coon Rapids, died Saturday at Thomas Rest Haven. Funeral services for Jim Cady will be this Saturday at 11 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Ralph Harrington, age 64, of Round Rock, Texas, died Friday. Graveside services for Ralph Harrington will be held Sunday at 10 o'clock at the Beck Funeral Home in Round Rock, Texas, in charge of arrangements. Marilyn Harder, age 76, of Greenfield, died Monday at the Greater Regional Hospice Home in Creston. Funeral services for Marilyn Harder are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Edith Sterrett, age 96, of Audubon, died Monday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Services for Edith Sterrett are currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.